Channel 2 over, and a continuation of the visit with Wade this Saturday afternoon, 12th of May, 72. Channel 2 over, and continuation of the visit with Wade this Saturday afternoon, 20th of May, 72. Channel 2 over, and a continuation of the visit with Wade this Saturday afternoon, the 20th of May, 72. Channel 2 over, and a continuation of the visit with Wade this Saturday afternoon, 22nd of May, 72.
Americans are funny people. I think we've lost the last one. We used to have a couple of old black fans, you know, that were built from the 20s almost.
Yeah.
The standard old fan
yeah.
that always had. And they fools hadn't changed that at all. You still buy a fan again if you can clean it.
I know.
You know, it gets dirty.
I know.
No.
You can't clean it. This thing takes just a little button and the whole thing falls apart and it's plastic and you wash it.
Take it out and wash it.
Wash
your
leg.
That's all it does. That doesn't make a lot of fuss.
That chicken
is
going
to
make a lot of fuss.
Well, I sure wouldn't let
Emerson
do me in.
Cut it down a little bit. I can't hear over it later.
Oh, it was just a funny, but it's a part of his character.
He came down.
He was there at 4 o'clock in the morning to get the car fixed.
Yeah.
And he and his wife showed up later on. That's another whole story about her. And he stayed there till 5:30. Well, he was pretty well, he'd been drinking beer all day. Wasn't really drunk. And he says, talked to Jack Sanders and says, Jack, what's the word he used? I got a tooth that's fretting me or something like that. This one right here. And the other Jack walks over and picks up Phil's vice grips. Says, is that the one? He says, yeah. Okay, hold still. Pulls it out. Right there. And he just leans over and spits a little bit of blood and sits back and drinks some beer and starts talking again.
I don't think he got much feeling left.
That's just, Buster did one 6 months ago, just like our last year. Except his pliers were greasier.
You mean the teeth?
Yeah, pulled a tooth.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's sitting right down there and he says, all right, this is the one.
You see, he was shot up.
Yeah.
And he got a plate in his head. And they grafted his skin on his face. Didn't finish. And shot in the stomach, shot in the knees.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is what he said. Mr. Weaver said, yes, that's right.
He and that Heron on the council, brothers.
Yes.
They're brothers, and they won't have anything, Jack won't have anything to do with it. That other Heron, Hilton Heron.
Well, now, Jack Doar was named Wrangler, and he said he'd hunt anything, and he could tell him what to hunt. And if you picked, all you had to do if you wanted to hunt possums, just take down a sack and strike out. And then he got the other sign. And whenever you see him, you get that from him.
Okay.
Dog named Wrangler, and he let old Maxie Nixon have him. Way back. And Buster remembers Wrangler.
Jack's good. Jack loves animals and kids and things like that. He might be crazy in a lot of ways, but he's an animal man. Oh, he loves to do that. He buys them stuff, candy, things like that.
The boy, he says, what's your name, little girl?
Okay. Yeah. He ought to do it consistent the day is long. It's as consistent as he can be about that.
Always gets it.
Never varies. But he's deviling them.
Deviling
them. But I love to devil them kids, them youngins.
They love it.
Yeah. Deviling them.
Yeah. That's it. then he come up there at 5 o'clock in the morning to get his car working.
That's when he gets up. And he gets up and eats breakfast. He's ingrained about that. Even if he's sick. If he's going to work, if he's sick, if he's going to get drunk, he starts at 4 or 5 in the morning. Whatever's in process for the day. It starts at that time.
And then he and that little wife of his, with one eye?
Yeah.
Set out in the truck?
It's all day long.
Waiting for Buster to get ready.
No, it wasn't Buster. It was Phil across the street. And Phil fits in just fine now. He's a new guy in town, but he gets along fine. Because he works just like Buster. Except he does a little bit more sophisticated work. But his attitude's like Buster's, too.
I haven't run into him.
It's that old pole building across the street. Tin pole, Weaver's old building.
Yeah.
And he comes down when he feels like it's necessary and works.
He's not like Buster.
Yeah, he's not a shopkeeper. And Jack paid him off with four buck rabbits, a bunch of beer, some collard greens. I forgot what else. Yeah, he paid Bill with it for fixing his car.
Well, the first animals I saw him have over there was pigs, and he had some beauties.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the pig market collapsed with that collar. He was stuck with all those beautiful pigs, couldn't give away. And now he's moved, you know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where he lives myself.
Down at Reddick. Or somewhere out there, Orange Lake, over to the west.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're raising rabbits.
Mm-hmm. He had a pretty good, he'd used the rabbit droppings. How was that? He had a pretty good cycle worked out.
Yeah.
Between the chickens, I think, the rabbits, and the pigs. Somehow he had a thing going. It made sense to me when he said it. I've forgotten what it was.
I was over there one morning. I went by there, and he had the pig droppings, and was putting them along with the ice potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't call. And Mr. Weaver says you just have to take him that way. Sometimes he won't talk to anybody.
Yeah, and he hadn't been feeling too well lately.
Yeah.
He got going down. Oh, I reckon about 6 months ago or something like that, maybe a little bit longer. He'd yet to get back up. I don't know if he'll make it back up. But he got down real bad. And man like that, if he's a physical person, and if he's not able, it's all right not to work, but if you're not able to work, that ruins you. You know, just, you're not physically able to work.
Say, I forget, by the way, you got your mind on something else. It was at the town meeting.
Yeah.
And the Vista man, you talked about him.
Oh, the interest. Yeah. Only the thing, I think I may have talked about that, but I'm just so pleased with this Bill Proctor, because his efforts are resulting in what he came down there for. I mean, if anything's going to work, you've got to start at the causes of it.
Yes.
You've got to start the causes. As long as they see that town council sitting up there like knots on a log, or they don't have to see them, they just have to know they're there. They know that town's clamped down, and they're not going to wiggle one way or the other. But now they see a change, they've got a crack in there, you know, a little light slipping in. They'll be apt to up and do something now, at least more so than before.
Now you think about the blacks.
Yeah, mainly the blacks right now, in that regard, because that's who Bill's working with, the blacks.
Yeah. Now he's a visitor.
Mm-hmm. Bill Proctor.
Yeah.
Oh, hell, there'd be no white people in Micanopy to consider themselves poor. No. They may make $20 a week, but they're not going to say they're poor. That's a class system, a strong class system over there. However, I think the hippies are fast becoming taking place of the colored people. Is a object of scorn, which is may be nature's own way of getting the colored people out of the bag. Because all you do is hate the hippies now. See, you got to have somebody to look down on. That's sort of necessary for the people.
Well, I haven't been in. Miss Morgan's one of my friends, you see, but I haven't been in touch with him in a couple of years. So I guess we're not too close. And he'd talk, you see, right out if I went around. Now, the hippies are increasing in number?
Not really. It's just been, well, let's say generally 2, 4, 6, 8, about 10 people. One or two of them live out of town, and maybe 6 live in the building over there, 6 or 7. And but they're friends that come down visiting periodically. All you have to do is see 5 people together, and you see 25. When you don't like them, you see 5, and there's a crowd, tremendous crowd. And did you notice the order of the way people sat in the audience? It was the local people here, then the pretty good segment of blacks, and then the hippies. Back of the room now. Just love that.
Well, who was the boy who sat in the middle there back of you who spoke right well?
Mitch was one guy. He was the guy that was taking notes.
Another fellow named John. He sat on the front row in that section back of you there.
Wonder if that was John Brigham, I think. Or Brigman.
Is he a hippie?
No. He's more or less a local type of person, best I can recall. If I'm thinking the same one.
Clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I think that if he was on that, where the aisle is, sitting
mm-hmm.
on that row,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm quite sure. That must have been Brigman.
Brigman.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I couldn't remember the name.
Yeah, he seems to have a clear head.
Now, that fella who was out of order all the time and wanted to bring up something, walk around with his.
Now, he lives right back of me. He's born troublemaker. If he's not causing trouble, he's unhappy.
Yeah.
Absolutely unhappy. He can't stand it unless he's stirring around. Oh hell, he shot at the police the other day. He was called on some disturbance, and the sheriffs came over in his house. And they had guns, and he looked at them like that. And says, "You got a gun there?" Huh? Yeah. Just a minute. He goes to his bedroom and comes out with his shotgun. Cocks hammer. Says, "All right, we're equal. Let's talk." And so they just told him to quiet down or something like that, and they got in the car and started to drive away, and he shot at the car with a shotgun. They turned around and took him to jail. If one tenth of what he told me is true, he's had a weird life. He's done some of the strangest things. Just one tenth of the stories he tells. He just came up the other day and was talking about he spent 87 days on a life raft one time, and 40 something again. In World War II. And his experiences in World War II has given him total exemption from society now. Society now is obligated not to bother him and allow him to operate as he pleases. By God. And he does it.
Well,
he's ornery. He's ornery as he can be.
Yeah, that's right, belligerent as he seems like.
Yeah.
But is he good to you, Monday?
Oh, yeah, he'll laugh and joke. It's just one of those things that a whole bunch of people like that, you just don't cross them.
Yeah.
And they're easy to cross.
Why?
Oh, yeah. You don't have to do a whole lot to cross them. They'll be a good friend, but you bring up the wrong word.
Yeah.
It's the Weavers. There was one of the boys were living in that little log cabin across the street.
Yeah.
And the Weavers own it. And it was a Saturday afternoon. And this guy had a friend from town that happened to be black. He came by and he went in the house. Saturday night, that guy was moved out of that place.
No blacks.
No blacks, and they're going to try to sell or lease the building, and they've already made a stipulation that no blacks, they can't rent it to any blacks. I mean, you know, they're hard line about stuff like that. And Frank says, you ain't never seen anything until you seen the Weaver Clan get together when they're mad about something. Oh, he was shaking Heron, Hilton Heron, at that first meeting. He had him up at the end of the meeting, walked out the door, and he grabbed him up by the lapels and shaking him like this.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Weaver. He's about to beat up when somebody broke him up.
Oh, he's shaking Hilton?
Hilton Heron, yeah. He's mad as a wet hen at him. Just as mad as he can be. When they get mad, they fight. I mean, that's it. They love to fight.
Well, Buck has one boy, is the only one I know.
He's got Billy and Wesley and Frank.
Three of them. Frank's the one I think
Frank,
I know.
Yeah, he's the one that talks. Billy's very quiet and very big.
Oh.
And they say, of all people not to monkey with, don't mess with Billy. Because he's quiet, but he broke a man's ribs just giving him a bear hug and just crushed like that. You know, just all power everywhere. And those other two are really sort of quiet, and Frank does all the talking and the rabble-rousing. He starts the trouble, and they come in and help him out. It's really an old-time family, you know, that in that sense. A dog bit the kid the other day, yesterday. And Frank is going to get his gun after things calm down and go over and shoot the dog. And he's mouthing off in the store how the best thing would be to shoot the owner of the dog.
Was that Mr. Uncle Mac?
No, it was, it wasn't Mac's dog. It was somebody else over back of the store.
Mac.
But I mean, that mentality.
Now, Mac's not in the clan.
No.
He's out.
I never knew why, but I've known that, like, he and Ms. Weaver never got along for some reason. They just never got along, Mary. She didn't, either she doesn't like him at all or he doesn't like her at all, one way or the other. I don't know which is
one.
I think that goes back to Mac's first marriage. His wife left him. They lived together 5, 6, or 8 years. I think Mary's attitude is the same, that he's no count. And she just don't want to be responsible for him and have him hanging around.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I don't have any idea. Has he talked to you about his wife?
He doesn't talk about people.
Oh, he opened up the other day, sitting out in front of Weaver's, and lit out with this story about when he wanted to rent this shed that the oil company owned to do a produce business. The shed, but he had to rent the oil place too. That's sort of a grocery store and a filling station type thing. And he stocked it. He said to his wife, all you have to do is run it. And then he's really funny talking about his wife and about her all the time with her hand in the till. And since she was stealing, he couldn't tell whether his employees were stealing because he couldn't keep count of the money. He went on about that for a while. I just almost died laughing. Thing, just the way, you know, he wouldn't talk directly, but he'd make these subtle statements about his wife. Is obviously just no good if she's going to come around stealing all the time. He finally had to catch her to make her quit. He had to trap her.
Well, he went broke. When the banks busted. And he said he never had anything after that.
29? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 30, 31, somewhere along there. And, but his wife, she went on up into the Sutters.
Well, evidently she was pretty good about picking up money.
His money.
From what he said. He said he finally went, he cleaned out the till, and she was there, and he went and put a $10 bill back in the till, one $10 bill. And he turned around. After a while, I walked back over there, and she was the only one in the place. And he looked at the till, and it was gone. So he said, "This, where's that $10 bill?" Because he knew there was a $10 bill in there, and he knew she was in there. So then he caught her. I don't remember the outcome of that, but I just, the idea of it's funny to me. Wife refused to run the store and come down every day and steal from it instead. I don't think he was too fond of her after that.
I had a mostly when he's over here, he talks about days back in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
He got some beauties, beautiful stories about that. I'll tell you one or two of them sometime.
You know the brother now, Buck, the school teacher.
Yeah.
He talks about his college education.
Yeah.
It's right interesting to hear people talk about their college education.
He went to Peabody.
He did.
And Nashville.
That's amazing.
And I think he taught school for a while.
Yeah, he did.
But at that time, see, school teachers didn't get that much. They weren't in great demand. So.
That's your change.
Mac was over here one day, and he was walking right down there. Talking about this place, I know he meant the ramp, but he's just talking about the old place still had on his mind, and we were going out the front lane.
But.
That's just recently. He's hardly walking. And he says, still thinking about the place, he says, "I've got a brother that could have had anything he wanted if it hadn't been for dogs." And it was a sadness in his voice.
Yeah. As much as that old man steals from the kids, I know he'd be sad about that. He must be sad to death because he steals from the kids all the time, day in and day out. You know, shortchanges them. Kids come in there. And you can do it any time you want to. Just give a kid some money, a bunch of money, to go down and buy something. And you know the amount of change. The kid will come back and change will be wrong. Every time. Hell, he's been doing it ever since he's been there. No wonder he's sad.
Who stole his shotguns?
I don't know. I have no idea about that. That was a funny thing.
They
blamed it on the hippies, and Buster saw them. These guys were drunk. So one of them threw up. Why they were doing this. Yeah, it's an amazing story about somebody stealing, you know, doing a thievery thing. One of them so drunk that he threw up, even, stumbling around.
They started at the back door and couldn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the side door, couldn't get in, and Buster's looking down on him. Went to the front door, and what'd he do? Knock out the glass?
I don't remember how they got in.
Well,
they wouldn't be hard to do it.
It wouldn't be hard to do. So all they did was take a couple shotguns. As I remember.
Well, that's... That would be like stealing Mac's dog in a way.
Because
he loves those guns.
Oh, yeah. But he doesn't keep them down there anymore. I guess he keeps them in his arsenal.
And you know, Mac's talking about how he never smoked, never drank, and doesn't bet. But what brought that to mind was what his brother said. He could have had anything he wanted if it had been for dogs. He never cursed, or smoked, or drank, or betted. And he lost it all because of dogs.
Uh-huh.
That's really funny. I mean, he's really a pure person in that respect. The dogs didn't.
He has absolutely no bad habits.
No. He brought that up talking about playing baseball. You know, he was a professional baseball player.
Yes.
And he was talking about how this pitcher on the side wanted to bet him $25 on a game. And back in those days, that was probably like $250. That he couldn't get a hit off of this pitcher. The pitcher wanted to bet him before they got up. He says, I would have bet, but I wasn't a betting man. So I said, no, I can't bet you. And he got a home run on him. He's got good talk about hitting that ball.
Mm-hmm.
Good recall of it. How he'd stand at the plate,
mm-hmm.
positioning, and then he'd change his mind, move this way a little bit, and reach out. I don't know anything about baseball.
Well, who listens to him?
I don't know.
Just you?
I was the only one there.
Buster doesn't.
No. Well, he can get awful long-winded when he gets a notion to come over there and start talking. When he'll catch anybody on the street. I don't think so.
Well, the trouble is, over in Mecanopia, they're all like him. They all talk.
Most all of them can. It's a bunch of them there. They know how to talk.
Yeah. So they haven't got time to do all that listening.
Even Buster can talk pretty good if he'll stay off his jokes. Him and those jokes, terrible. He did it twice with me. Funniest thing, he says, Wade, come here. He starts telling a joke. He got into it the first time. After a while, I laughed at something. He says, what you laughing about? And I said, well, something's funny. He said, oh, he said, I didn't know when I was coming to the end of the joke. And he did it again. He got all the way through the joke. He said, gee, I forgot. He just loves to do it. And he'll launch into these things without remembering them. Yeah, but he just likes that act of doing the joke. Much better than the joke. He just likes to do it. And it was twice I got him on that, that he was all into this joke, and he didn't even know where the punchline was in the joke.
Well, now, I've suffered through a large number of those jokes, and I never saw him miss a line.
He sure did two of them with me, and I thought that was funnier than any joke he'd told.
Well, that doesn't reduce his batting average.
No, not much. He's even gone so far as to buy joke books. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just so he had some jokes to tell people every day, new ones.
Really?
He's funny about that.
They all sound as if he made them up himself.
Oh, he'll garnish them quite a bit.
Oh, does he? He has that gift.
Mm-hmm. He'll lay a lot of them on his family, like my grandfather did.
Yeah. But now, you never hear J.R. He got more sense than Buster. He's saltier than Buster.
I've never heard him talk.
Buster can do it, but J.R. does it. The only thing that took J.R. out of circulation is that darn job on the campus up there. He was doing fine up until he went up there.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he even put up his Christmas decorations last year, did he?
No.
You remember seeing any of those?
No.
He puts up the damnedest decorations. They didn't do it last year.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Works and works and works and builds these things out of nothing.
Yeah.
You know, one year he had one of the first moon rocket things several years ago.
Yeah.
And he had a huge table he put in the yard with a big rocket on it. It's all made with the silver paper, you know, and it would run up and down this cable and do things. You know, he just builds all this stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And when he got that on his mind, he wouldn't help you clean out your stove. Money doesn't mean much.
Mm-mm. He built what he called a nigger scarab. An electric motor that turned about 25,000 RPMs, which is awful fast. You had the shaft, you got all these old saw blades, and you put them up loose on this shaft, and then tie a bolt on the end of it, so they're all loose, and let that motor go, and you get the blades going in all different directions. I didn't hear it, but I love to hear him talk about how he built it. I can imagine it would be a ferocious noise when it got through.
nigger scare,
yeah.
Now, you know Louise Graham.
I don't know her. I've
you
met
know
her.
Do you know her son, Andrew?
Yes.
Have you talked to him?
Not very much. I know people that have talked to him.
He's the one I would love to talk to. He has done everything.
Mm-hmm.
He made whiskey. He used bulldozers. He goes down to the scrub. Beat up near it? He's a little bit, you see, it's past his time now, but he could tell you about it. But he's the sort I can't ever get to, because he wouldn't talk to me.
Fellows like that, somehow or other, you got, I don't know, no, he doesn't drink. So you wouldn't go drinking with him. You'd have to get in with something he's doing, stand on the bulldozer with him or something, or somehow get closer to him. He wouldn't talk a great deal to me either, I don't think.
Just standing there?
He came by the other day to apologize for an incident that happened out on his property. It was a strange thing. But that's a funny family, and that family, that I mentioned to you before, that money has not altered that family.
Yeah.
No one even knows what they're doing with that money, because
yeah.
It's never shown its head.
Yeah.
Anywhere. And that's a lot of money. They had to get a lot of money. They just had to.
Two lots.
Yeah.
Two sites.
An immense amount of money. Capital cash money.
Yeah.
I think one sold for $80,000, rumor I heard, but I don't see why it wouldn't. At least that kind of money. It'd be worth a lot more than that now. And they're just still right there. Just doing this. Andy still works $15 an hour with a broken down bulldozer. Didn't even buy new equipment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you'd think maybe he'd get new equipment and go work a little bit better.
If I could talk to Louise Graham, I'd quit my job and just talk to her. Nothing else. You see, all her life, she has had free reign. She's never had to wash a dish. She's always been a public figure and had access to everybody. But you see, I don't have the gift. I don't have the touch. I couldn't talk to her. I mean,
yeah, she's a matriarch.
she knows that country. She can talk. She can talk. She's like the woman at Ms. Myers.
Mm.
You get them together in the store there.
Yeah.
You've heard that.
Good Lord, Thelma's really funny when she gets cranked open. She does. She loves to talk. Thelma does. No doubt.
Oh, she lives on it.
Yeah, thrives on it.
Yeah. Now, what sort of talk does she do, eh?
She's mostly lighthearted banter.
Yes.
Jovial.
Yeah.
I've never noticed her get into too deep into things. She likes to get into political life once in a while. But I hadn't noticed a great deal of background in her.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, like Buck's background. And that's what he lives on. She doesn't seem to come up with that.
Oh, I see.
At least I've never talked to her had it come up. That's the only thing I can say.
But she and Louise Graham really have a time. I've been in there when they, one of them in the back of the store, one in the front.
Carrying on.
Yeah.
I've been in there when they both been in there and customers in the store and everybody just stopped. And they just talked. I mean, everybody in the store just sort of stopped and listened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody waited on anybody else while Louise and...
How you... Done.
Well, we ought to get something settled on this. There they are. Now, these are much larger than the negatives. So those are blown up a little bit, but it takes so much work to get them up bigger than that.
It would be nice if he were just a little healthier. You see, he's been a man in his time. You realize that?
Oh yes.
He's frail, always frail. Look at Everett's table, Faye.
Oh my gosh!
Isn't that a fine table?
Yeah. I wish I hadn't been in on it.
Well, see, that's another thing. I think just
it's all right. I mean, but I, you know, it helped you. It helped a little bit.
Well, I don't know whether to try to shoot around you a little bit or what.
No, whatever comes handy.
Now, in the case of, what's the lady's name we went to see? Got a couple of pictures of. Grandmother. This lady here.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, we can use, and let me talk just a little bit about, see, I needed more film out there, and needed just a little bit more time to get these people to relax, and like, I got her around the corner, but I was engaging her in conversation and couldn't handle a camera at the same time.
Yeah.
And she was really talking about these flowers and things like that. And,
Let me tell you, I don't have control out there. It's just fly by night. And they don't trust me anymore. They used to. And, so this is worth the trip, right, Taffy?
I said, oh, yes.
That's a nice picture of her.
I remember this one. She looked sleepy.
Yeah, see, she wouldn't. She was disgruntled about getting her picture made. She wanted to show she's disgruntled. You know, an act, act. Anyhow, she probably pleased as punch to have a picture made.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But.
But now this is a mammal.
Oh,
right?
You got the mammal.
Yeah, we can use those.
Isn't that something?
Isn't that something? And there's where it's head.
That's. Yes, old Frankie.
Frankie, I mean. Frankie.
Yeah, he comes in the house and walks over there and puts that hat on that pig.
The pig.
Yeah. So he says she didn't know whose hat that was. It's too high for anybody, but he just puts it up there. The greatest thing is who I saw it after. Oh yeah, that's frustrating.
Now these, see, even with Mac was. I would look at these as just starters. There's one sort of nice little bunch of dogs. I wish we could have gotten more of them. All the tails in there.
Oh, here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Where is that? Well, it's the group up there. This little one right here. If we had a bunch of them out there, I just like the tails sticking in there.
Yeah.
And we've got to work around Mac. He's Now, he's all right. He wants me to take pictures of the dogs, and we can use that, and I can get him some dog pictures. But then I can, we can get to a little bit better on him personally. He was a little bit stage struck on this.
Yeah.
Couldn't handle it too well. And one of the reasons when you have to do quite a bit of shooting is concern with the people and your lighting conditions and everything like that, and you don't want to keep them set up. So you want them to move around and catch them in a very natural circumstance. Now, in this case, if we want to talk about Mac, I just made this picture just to show you how they blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's not one we would use if you're talking about him. But see, like, the focus here is all important on you and not on him.
Yes.
And sometimes this happens very accidentally because it's only a range about so far. You're talking about in inches when you're shooting under these conditions.
Oh.
And as far as I'm concerned, I was trying to get him and I missed.
Yeah.
So you can't be sure every shot.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the best shot you got might be a little out of focus, so you need to get a good number of these to get them lined up right.
Now, is this the same one
a
little later?
No, that's the same picture. And that wouldn't be at all a finished picture. That was. See, to really get into this, that's the reason you have to pick out the pictures you want, then you make a print like this and decide you want to use it, and then it'd probably take half an hour or better to make a good finished print on it. And you really have to work on the bloody things.
Well, now you're talking out of my language now.
Well, I'm just talking about, if we want to do it, if you're talking about reproducing these things, they've really got to be worked right. And so, therefore, what we would do is sit down with this kind of stuff, and we'll get a pen, and you say, well, I like this, and you like that, and check them off.
Yeah.
And then I'll make a big print of them and bring them back, and then you say, immediately, some of them I can just look at in the larger and say, no, we can't use it. There's something may be wrong with it we can't see right here.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, those mantelpiece shots, I've got four exposures. There's two more that don't show here. Now, I'm sure I have one that wouldn't have a camera shake. See, I had to get the camera and hold it up on something because it was a long exposure because of light conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have had a tripod with me, and I didn't. So I had to do it by, and there's apt to be a shake involved in that, which would make the negative no good. But I think we have one there that'll work. But, I mean, all this kind of accidental stuff. But, see, I can tell that right off. And so I don't have to print it. But then some of these, like I'd pick out the best one of these these pictures. And I can...
That's
see, it was too low light conditions in here to get a long depth of field. I should have had a tripod with me, too. In other words, what's happened here in all these pictures, the back wall will be out of focus. But I think it's going to be a good enough picture anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
It'll
show.
See. Uh-huh. I mean...
And I didn't feel like after I got through taking this roll of film that we had anything really good with Mac and the dogs. You know, I just had that sense about it because it wasn't we weren't casual enough, and he was a little bit too tight running.
Yeah, pushing.
Uh huh.
Well.
For something like this, you need to be free and just, I mean, be able to adjust a little bit as you go on and not have to rush it. You see, that's all I can manage.
You need to get in with the people and be there long enough to so that they don't look at you as a stranger.
Yeah.
I don't mean as an old friend, but not an intruder. And then they have to get sort of accustomed to the camera.
Yeah.
I see this boy did these, and you see, he did these over a month. And he don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, Cookie was out here.
Mm-hmm.
You might say I held Cookie down, and Cookie didn't care anyhow. I mean, it was they were buddies. Like you say, you see, he had access to
him. Mm-hmm. That's some good... He'd be a good man to photograph. What is he doing now? I saw right up in the paper he was puny or something.
Yeah.
Wasn't he getting puny?
Mm-hmm. And that's the picture that was in the paper.
Yeah.
The critters used to pass down there. They are handsome. They're worth it. Now, if you send one of these pictures to the magazine, Mr. Weaver's magazine, would you get a good print and send it? Doesn't have to be big.
No, you send this size print.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you make.
That's all I make.
These you make up for exhibition or display.
Oh, yeah.
These kind of things.
This was for his project up at the
school.
He took a class.
Mm-hmm. That's a right handsome fellow, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we've got to start. Rework. I can see in some cases some people you might not be able to spend too much time with. They get offended just to come back and hang around the camera too much. I don't want to feel furtive.
Yes.
About it because that happens.
Yes, I wouldn't do that anymore. No.
So just talk to them and.
See, that was just on the wing that Saturday morning.
Really, to go.
And I didn't have
a thing. We had something to give them, talk to them about, or something like there that could set up a situation, and then I'd break out of it and start taking pictures. It's about the only way I know to do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Really need two cameras. Wish somebody hadn't stolen my one. So I can have two different kind of film. One for inside, one for outside.
That's right. I can see that.
Because it's I mean, I'm using film now. It's a really fine quality film, and I sort of hate not to use it when you can, but you have to use it outdoors primarily. When you get inside, it's a little bit hard to shoot with it. And there's another film that I use that shooting indoors, you just get fantastic. You know, I can sit here and take a picture of you without a great deal of problems.
In
that kind of light. Oh, I can borrow Norman's camera to work with. That was about a $300 camera. Somebody just walked off with it.
Can't be honest. I'm gonna tell you something I found out. This thing here. This is Sony, it doesn't matter what kind you get. But if I do it all over again, see, I wouldn't have any of these. I just have these little ones.
The size doesn't bother you?
What? Oh, there's nothing to it. You don't want to. I don't look at pictures of any, you see.
That's it. I just now realized it really was a TV set. I kept looking at it. I didn't know what it was, a big clock, because there's those numbers down the bottom. I didn't know what that thing. Well, good Lord. As much as you need.
Oh, yes. And then you can get them. I don't even need that. See, I just got this. I don't know.
It's a clock.
Oh, it is a clock.
Yes. And you can set it. You can set it.
So you can wake up by TV.
Well, it'll turn the program on.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, it'll turn this on.
Aha. Well, that was a bonus, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, the boy's a genius. Who does it? What television man did you know, cameraman or tape recorder man did you know in Ocala that you used to talk about?
Oh, that was Jim Revel. He's over in Tallahassee now.
Yeah. Well, I went down there looking for your friend, and I found this fellow.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he's a genius.
He knows what he's doing.
Oh.
Isn't that a pleasure to run into somebody like
yeah,
that?
He said he could fix something in 5 or 10 minutes. It'd take somebody else a half a day to do, because he knew what to look for, and the other fellow had to work it out.
Yeah.
And that's the way with all his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the mentality he's got. The only one I've ever run across. And furthermore, when he fixes it, he checks it to see if it'll work.
That's something.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? I run some sort of a note in my head about something I did recently like that, but I can't think what it is. Get it repaired and take it back. And take it home to work it, your machine, after having it repaired, the thing won't work. And it's right discouraging.
That's right. And you see, if you want any more volume than this, you can put it on some of these old tape recorders that it counts. And that'll give you all the volume. It's terrible.
I hadn't watched that TV in such a long time. I'm sure I missed a few things, but not a whole lot.
Well, it takes time.
I haven't watched it. I've tried to keep up with the editorial page and the front page on the paper best I can.
Well, you can't do both. I don't believe. It just takes all your time to do.
You get absorbed in it too much.
Well, yes, you have to live around it.
That's right. You know, the good things, when they come, they just have to remember.
You haven't got anything to eat.
Yeah.
I've got to go help Beverly.
Okay.
You know, she's working now. She's been working for 2 weeks.
Oh.
And I'm trying to behave myself a little bit and help her out.
Oh. Well, we'd be happy to have you eat a bite of food, but
very,
I understand that.
Very, very poor babysitter today and a housekeeper. Extremely poor.
Well,
lost the kid and didn't clean the house up. So
is,
I need to get back before dark to help clean up a little bit. Yeah, she's about to get adjusted to her working conditions now.
That may be a sort of a relaxation to get her off.
Well,
that
I think as soon as she gets adjusted to the change, see, it's a total different world. Start this business at the hospital than what she's been in. So
that's
different physical strain.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a horrible mental strain right now.
How much you want me to make this for?
You're getting paid by the.
Yeah.
This is footage by the university, huh?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Just a partial payment on this thing?
Just
a starter fee?
I'll just pay up to date.
I tell you the truth, guy, I haven't even thought about it. Matter of fact, I'll leave these here for you to look at, because I don't need them until we talk about it next time.
Right.
Hell, I hadn't even thought about that at all, about money.
Yeah.
Beats me.
They won't pay the architectural fees, you know, but they'll pay you enough to...
Well, I'd be right proud just to be sponsored to do it. Because I'm so tired of that other business, I could scream. I don't want to make another picture of the building.
Well, you...
I really don't. Now this, I'm enjoying it. I really am.
Well, let me tell you, we talk mostly about the town meeting, and I would glad to get a little insight into that. I have absolutely no information about it. I told you that about the place over there. This is more than I have got all told. All told. What you know just said. And but now I can fill you in on some of these things here sometime when we get out.
Well, definitely. I didn't mean. Get so involved. Matter of fact, my storehouse of speech is gone. I'm in this. I've talked out of town.
Let me tell you, I want to see those speeches you had, the one you used, and that paper you circulated, and you don't have the one that the other boy used.
I'll have a copy of it.
Yeah? Well,
no, maybe.
Let me see that. Let me see them.
Yeah, this one, that communication is really interesting. I'm learning on it.
Yeah.
See, I tried to use, everything else aside, links and all other mistakes, I tried to use a media which these people possibly could understand. I think it confused it even more.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
They weren't after information, that might you were there at all.
Yeah.
They were after emotive content.
But
that's
you can't avoid that. You don't know them. Does it happen?
Yeah, but I still think that they can't follow things like that too much. You have to go ahead and speak in a more straightforward term, and then hope they can get it.
Yeah.
If you try to place it in some other form, it totally confuses them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They probably thought I was selling used cars. Sure as hell.
That's right. That's right.
So I really learned a lot, because that didn't work. One bit. I mean, we got it passed.
Yeah.
But as far as, I mean, my feeling about it, that it was, I mean, for all those listed reasons, it just was a failure. Length, timing, the delivery or whatever, and every presentation and everything you can name about it.
Yeah.
It's about backwards.
Yeah.
Now, the other one, it was almost as long, not quite as long, but I didn't stop and mess around so much. See, I knew what these people weren't getting it, and I kept trying to fill, and that all that did was make it worse.
Yeah.
And that didn't work too much time. But the other one was well received, but it was more just straight down the line. Didn't mess around with anything.
That's the one the other board had.
No, I meant the one first one.
At the first meeting.
Yeah.
You got that?
Yeah, I had that. And it was just right straight down the line.
Yeah. And it worked. It
worked fine.
Yeah.
But Morgeson said, now I want you to explain. See if you can't put that in simple terms, what planning and zoning is.
Yeah.
And I did. I had in one paragraph last time. Double space that much.
Yeah.
And dispensed with it and said that was it. And I think I'll do the same thing next time.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, you know old Rusty, Red Smith?
Yeah.
Russell, oh, Russ.
Yeah, he's cantankerous sort, isn't he? He was at that meeting.
Yeah.
He came up afterwards, though, and said that he didn't make no offense, Mr.
He's a good nature, and he's a useful citizen. He's worked for me two or three times, and every time he hadn't done me any good. But he's tried.
Now where does he work? That's the interstate?
He works for himself, back at the old railroad station.
Oh, the welding shop.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. They've done a little work for me, too. It didn't work either. I don't think of it. It wasn't their fault, but it didn't work.
Well, the first thing he got up and said, you know, and he stands up there swaying out in the middle, like the wind's blowing him from the back. He said, I think the meeting ought to proceed, and all these people back here keep their mouth shut and lets people up here transact the business. Next time he got up, he's talking about you. He says, that fella, he ought to get all this other stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, he came up and told me that, too. And he said, he wanted me to clean it up.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, you got all these little key words.
Yeah.
That you got to know when you use them, it's going to mean this to this group of people, and that to that group of people, and they're all there together.
Yeah.
You got to figure out, like, trailers.
Oh, yeah.
You just say trailers. Now, you got five people who are living in trailers and want to have trailers everywhere. You say trailers in a mean sense, or we got to get rid of trailers. We've got them totally upset and mad, and then everybody else will say, we've got to get rid of trailers. So, just that's not what I'm talking about again. And George Wilson got upset with his wife because they're living in a trailer. You just don't know which way to go on that, and that's the thing that needs to be worked out. You see, the biggest point about it is things are happening.
Yes.
And I don't think the person should just give up because they say it's impossible to talk to them.
Oh, let me tell you. Let me tell you. I can tell you exactly how to proceed. Now, I can't do it. But you can. You don't pay a damn bit of attention to what anybody says visibly. You just go right ahead as if this is a fine meeting and you want to have another one and take a little bit farther. You don't admit to anything. It's just as if you don't have any senses or sensibilities or anything.
Right.
Now, that's a public attitude. No. You don't notice what anybody says. And if they get up and say something and they insult you, you go around and next time you see them and say, I certainly appreciate you bringing that up.
Right.
Now,
just like they said, the finest thing in the world, huh?
Yes, sir. If you want to work with the public, you want to get things through. You see, you don't adjust anything. You don't, you see.
Yeah, I
react to anything. See, now my business is to react. That's what keeps me alive, and that's what keeps the thing I've been doing out of here alive. But you see, I won't last long. Not even the people on Earth live.
That's damn truth, though, what you say there.
Yes, and
you've got to develop an attitude and stick to it.
And you see what the value of somebody like me is? You can come over here and pop off, and you can see what goes on just by talking to me. And I can listen to you, you see? And I won't interrupt you. And most of the people you talk to, you see, they'll just prod you that much more. You see, you can't settle anything. You can't see it easily.
Mm-hmm.
They won't let you go ahead. Now that's the fella says. That's the only advantage I see of a college education. You can listen and not react.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can't falter around too much.
No. You got to be direct and simple. Now, that fellow Evelyn has a problem. I mean, he can talk to Yvonne. I said, damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's a school man, you see.
Mm-hmm.
It's an earmark. All of them are like that.
Yeah, he's
90% of them.
Well, he's a administrator, or, you know, gone well up in the company. Then I don't even know which one he's in. And he does. He has that facility.
Yeah.
And he's a big leader in the church. Oh, yeah. He runs that church there, Episcopal Church.
Right.
He does preaching. Time the preacher's not there. He's got that thing working for him. And I talked to him just enough to know that he doesn't understand religion, but the form of it he loves.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't want to say that about him if I hadn't heard him act a couple of times say some things.
No, it doesn't matter about that.
But the form, he's got the form.
Yeah.
And he loves that.
He's got that old educationist manner. He got it. He got it.
To talk without saying anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great conviction and all.
Yes.
And the time they talk 5 minutes, you figure, well, so that's it. And then you wonder, what's it? He had absolutely nothing to say over there.
Nothing to report, did he?
That is an extra fine thing.
Oh, you look at that.
And it doesn't make a lot of noise.
Oh, no.
Where did you pick up on that?
It's down to that same place.
Well, you did run into a jewel in front of
it. Yeah.